It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm J-Dog, and joining me is a true Renaissance man, in addition to being an athlete and an educator, as well as an education advocate and an author and an entrepreneur. He is also a swell dancer. He is also a doting grandfather, a loving husband, and a fantastic father. He is a baseball awards presenter, Eddie Papowski's number one fan, and the longest running host, the Pulse of New Hampshire, with curly hair. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. He is Tom Raffio. Tom, how are you?
Wonderful, Jay. And now that the world's open up and I'm out day and night making presentations, et cetera, I'm bringing you everywhere I go.
Oh, thank you.
And it's so true that as far as running, there's been a lot of races recently. We did a fundraiser for Tom Walton. We did a fundraiser for Brian Collins. There was Beach to Beacon road race and fundraiser for Frank Donovan. So basically people are using road racing as a way to raise money for charities and scholarship fund while also keeping everybody fit. So today is equally important and sort of on the healthcare front. And with your permission, Jay, I'd like to introduce my two guests today. We have Lynn Carpenter, who is a program director at New Hampshire Needs Caregivers, and also Paula Smith, who's the director of Southern New Hampshire Area Health Education Center. Thank you, Lynn and Paula, for joining me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Yes, thanks for having us.
Of course. So we all know that New Hampshire has an aging population. So would it make sense maybe for Lynn to start and suggest why New Hampshire needs caregivers?
Sure. Thank you, Tom. So New Hampshire Needs Caregivers started actually back a little bit before the pandemic as a way to recruit and train licensed nursing assistants to work in nursing homes and long-term care. It actually came out of what's called the Healthcare Sector Partnerships Initiative, and I'll talk a little about that later. And we really wanted to promote the opportunities for people to join healthcare or continue in their careers in healthcare as licensed nursing assistants. The pandemic came and the need for direct caregivers became even greater than it was before the pandemic. And happy to say that the New Hampshire Needs Caregivers program has continued to receive funding and continues to this day. So
great. Let me turn it over to Paula. So the mission of AHEC, or Southern New Hampshire Area Health Education Center, is to develop, promote, and coordinate community and academic multidisciplinary partnerships for health professions education. We focus on underserved communities and provide education for students, practicing health professionals, and members of Southern New Hampshire communities. So tell us more about that, because that is a
must. I'm going to make it easier. So what I usually say, my elevator answer, is we do workforce development for current and future health professionals. And so for current health professionals, we do a lot of continuing education to help health professionals keep their skills up. And then for future health professionals, we work with health profession students and youth, high school youth, elementary school youth, to get them interested in a health career and help do science enrichment. So that makes it a little bit easier to understand.
I love it. And of course, we have in the dental field, we have the same challenges. There is actually plenty of dentists between Nashua and Concord, but there's definitely a shortage of hygienists and dental assistants. And we have found by approaching students like in junior high and certainly in high school, was showing the value of getting into the dental profession. We get students interested. So I definitely can relate to what you're doing. So your original vision, Lynn, going back to you, do you think would you adjust that, or is it still how you see your organization?
Well, New Hampshire Needs Caregivers, again, was part of or born out of what's called the Healthcare Sector Partnerships Initiative. And Healthcare SPI really is a regional base. We have five regions in New Hampshire group of stakeholders, so employers and support personnel, educators that come together to identify what the challenges are regarding healthcare workforce and how we might overcome those challenges. And I will say somewhat remarkably, because the concept of New Hampshire Needs Caregivers was born pre-pandemic, that vision really still stands today and is, as I mentioned before, even a greater need for direct caregivers, getting them into the healthcare field. And to your point, Tom, if people enter the healthcare field in different ways. We might have a licensed nursing assistant that starts practice and enjoys oral health and wants to go on to become a dental hygienist or a dentist. So it's getting, promoting the opportunities, getting people into healthcare so that they can better understand what the different options are for them, and then helping support them in their career path.
You know, and if you're a people's person, I mean, this is where you want to be at, right? I mean, I know recently the person that took my blood, for example, used to be a bartender.
Yeah.
But she loved with people, so she got trained on how to draw blood. And like, first of all, she was amazing at drawing blood, but she also had these people skills. And I know dentists tell me that oftentimes for their dental assistants, not the hygienist where you have to go to the formal 2 or 3 year school, but for the dental assistants where you can be certified through on the job and other training, that they might be out to dinner and the waiter or waitress is particularly gregarious, and then they recruit that person, you know, to become a dental assistant. So I think on the one hand, in today's world, like so many jobs, I know people are working from home now, you're not going to get that people interaction. So there's probably, I'm thinking, there's probably the yin and the yang of that, meaning you're competing against jobs where the other organizations can say, well, you can work from home, where generally speaking, you know, on the healthcare side, you've got to get into the office to see patients. So has that affected recruiting, where you're sort of competing against, offers that other industries have, where, you know, you can basically work from home? Has that hurt your recruiting?
It's a great question. And actually, just a couple of days ago, I had a couple of different people reach out to me and say, I used to be a caregiver years ago. I now have a job where I work from home, and I really miss the interaction with others. So I would, in some ways, it's been a positive. People that are working from home more, because they're realizing that they need that human connection, even on a part-time basis. There are others. I would say the biggest challenge really is scheduling flexibility. Many people want to go into a career in healthcare, and they might have children or household responsibilities that don't always align well with the demands of healthcare, which are 24/7, weekends, holidays. The flexibility for people to do more of the, drive for Uber or Instacart, I find are probably more on the competitive side with the population that expresses some interest in this role, and they don't pursue it, as opposed to the I just want to work from home. So, yeah, great question.
Well, the story is yet to be unfolding on how this is all going to play out. I know here at Delta Dental, we're pretty much hybrid. But half the people come in and about half work from home, and they've all found their rhythm. But even the folks working from home, you know, we like to have them come in for, you know, all employee meetings and things like that, because I still think the human connections and, you know, important for the reasons you indicated. Now, I know you got underway before COVID, but when COVID hit, did that exacerbate, did that make these challenges even greater for you? Because I know we had a lot of hygienists retire when COVID hit, you know, as we all remember 2020 was kind of scary. We didn't know as much about the virus. And if you're dealing with saliva and if you were going to retire, if you were planning to retire 2 years from now, then you simply retired now, right?
Yes.
And that created, a shortage of hygienists. So how did COVID affect your work?
Well, interesting. So a colleague of mine, Roxy Severance, who recently retired, actually started New Hampshire Needs Caregivers.
And how is Roxy doing?
She's doing great.
Enjoying retirement.
We'll say hi to Roxy. Yeah. So I was actually still working as a nursing home administrator and finishing up my doctorate in April of 2020 and planning a career change myself. So I can speak to the being in a facility. We have many staff who were scared, lost childcare, were just afraid. And so they left. Others really stepped up and stepped in and said, we're here, we're not leaving. I would say that from a New Hampshire Needs Caregivers perspective, with Roxy was really getting this going in March of 2020. There were people that were reaching out with interest, but many did not move forward because of the fear of not knowing what was going to come. And then the challenges that came after that with COVID vaccination and mandates, as far as that went, kind of deterred some people. We're seeing now come back with interest now that there's some entities have lifted that mandatory requirement.
Great. Well, we'll build on that after break. So nhneedscaregivers.org and nhhealthcareheroes.org. And I do want to get into the healthcare hero. So we'll talk about that after break. Jay, this is interesting, huh?
It is, absolutely. And talking about the healthcare and nurses shortage, this certainly happened. It kind of exacerbated during the pandemic. And regardless of what you feel, we're still getting out of it. Little by little, certain sectors are still getting out of the pandemic. And it's not going to be overnight. It's going to take time. And the healthcare sector is one of those that's going to do that for sure, even though we're in 2023, entering 2024. Lynn Carpenter, Program Director at NH Needs Caregivers, as well as Paula Smith, Director of Southern New Hampshire Area Health Education Center, are the guests this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. As Tom alluded to, you can go to nhhealthcareheroes.org. That's the website. And we're going to talk more about this and a lot more on Northeast Delta Dental Radio after this from the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I am J-Dog, and this is Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this week's guests are Lynn Carpenter, Program Director at New Hampshire Needs Caregivers, as well as Paula Smith, the director of Southern New Hampshire Area Health Education Center. NHHealthcareHeroes.org is the website. And Tom Raphael, the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, talking with the ladies this week about that and a whole lot more with the healthcare sector and the like. And continue on. I will just go back in my cubbyhole for a few minutes and I'll let you go on.
Thank you, Jay. So, Paul, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know I participate vicariously because I've actually never been on a visit where the healthcare hero is recognized, although one of my great colleagues, Dr. Mitch Caray, was one of them. And I felt I was there living it and breathing. So take your time and tell us what it's like when you go out and do those visits and how compelling it is and, what the process is. So take as much time as you need to, explain that process.
Yeah, I've had the ability to go out on a couple of different visits. And it's so heartwarming to see the pride that these organizations have in recognizing their hero. We as SPI staff, Sector Partnership Initiative staff, and as the AHEC director, I'm on the committee, and the sector partnership lives within the Southern Hampshire AHEC, so we're all one big happy family. But we go out into the community, into the organizations that the healthcare heroes are working. We bring a big banner. We have a big bag with all these goodies in it. We hang up the banner. The organizations invite people to celebrate their champions. We have a little, we do Facebook live streaming, and you can see that, I think, when you look at the website. We have an opportunity where we do a little bit of an intro, and then we have the employer recognize, you know, and say some kind words about their healthcare hero, and their healthcare hero then will respond so much with humility. Recently, I was in Derry, and the person that was being recognized was a teacher at one of the CTE at Pinkerton, and all his students were there, and it was just, you know, they were cheering him on. It was really great. Another one from 2022, one of the health center winners, they had a confetti cannon, and they just, you know, they just really show a lot of love and appreciation. And that's the whole goal of Healthcare Heroes, right? It's recognizing people who are going above and beyond, and really providing great service to their patients, to their colleagues, to the community.
Now, I know the 2023 honorees have been recognized or have been in there, and you can find it on the website. So what would be the process for next year, 2024, if the listening audience is aware of someone that should be considered a hero? And also, it was interesting, so you had someone from CTE Career Tech being recognized. So it's sort of related to healthcare, but not necessarily in, so it can be a teacher as well.
Well, the teacher, a health professions teacher, right? So he is in the high school preparing students to take the EMT exam, I believe. And so it was really exciting because these are our future. Sure. It's that pipeline, right? That future health professional. And so for our goal is actually to reconvene our committee. We recognize people a little bit early in 2023 due to some funding and budgetary constraints. So we'll be doing opening up our new nomination process probably in the fall of 2023, doing some solicitation to help get some support, for some fundraising and getting the nominations out. So the website will be open and we'll start promoting, recruiting for nominations. And they're really healthcare heroes. We were talking earlier about New Hampshire Needs Caregivers and the licensed nursing assistants, but healthcare heroes can be any healthcare discipline or profession. So I don't know, Lynn, what do you want to add about healthcare heroes?
Yeah, I'd love to just add that, as Tom mentioned earlier, we did have a dentist who was recognized a couple of years ago. One of the other really unique stories was a command sergeant major from the New Hampshire National Guard who oversaw all of the distribution of the PPE, masks, gloves, the planning of the vaccine clinics, that person was recognized back in 2022, I just thought it was a really great story. Again, something that is a little out of the ordinary, something that we don't always think about, kind of behind the scenes healthcare heroes, but they are there as well. We've had several direct caregivers, from licensed nursing assistants, RNs, LPNs, to environmental services workers, or housekeepers, speech therapists, in many, many different settings. So behavioral health, nursing homes, hospitals, home health. One of the things that I love about the program is that we ask people who are nominating others or healthcare heroes to tell us a story. And we make sure that we recognize everyone who is who's nominated, but just letting them know that they've been nominated. And we also recognize formally the runners up in each region, as well as the third runner up as well. So
such a nice touch, because you're all heroes, really.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have situations where you feel bad, you have to pick one, because they're all So great. So that's a really, you know.
Thank God for the committee so that you don't feel the burden. You know, there's a committee and you're all, we have a criteria for voting, but it is hard because there's so many well-deserving people
and,
out there.
And I also know that they're all quite humble, and you'll be happy to know that my dentist nominee, Dr. Mitch Curry, still being a hero, he still sees several veterans every week, often on his own time. And anytime I call him, you know, if someone has an emergency, he gets into the office, you know, day or night on Saturday. So all of these heroes continue to be heroes. And you go on nhhealthcareheroes.org later this summer, and you can start looking at that process. Now, Lynn, you mentioned, and Paula mentioned the funding part of this. And I know when I interacted with Roxy, that was always, you know, a consideration. And I know you've been doing it somewhat organically now for 2 years. So I know how hard fundraising is, even when it's a noble and compelling cause. I mean, I spend a lot of time on that in my board work outside of Delta Dental. So how have you pulled this off, Lynn and Paula?
Well, I think one of the nice things, we've been doing it for a few years now, and we do have sponsors who have supported us since the very beginning, like Delta Dental. And so they believe in it and want to continue. We also find that organizations that have had a staff member recognized, they just going through the experience, they're really engaged and they want to give back even in a small way. So another unique part of the program I'll say is our little volunteer committee is very diverse, and we all know many different types of people and organizations. So it truly is a very organic process where we're reaching out each time, and so far it's worked for us.
Yeah.
That's great. If they go on your website, because this is my call to action for my years of other CEOs and other leaders of companies, because this is one where, you know, even a modest donation can help. So all that information is on your website.
Not there now, it will be there shortly. I will have a plan for people to understand, like, okay, the 2024 process. I think you've given us a really good idea that we'll update the website so that people know what to do and when to expect, you know, when the committee is going to be looking for 2024 donations and nominations.
That's good, because we have to strike while the iron is hot. I mean, I do interview a lot of nonprofit organizations, and when the program runs and people hear it, they're ready to make a donation. So we want to get on, you know, nhhealthcareheroes.org and be able to click a button and do a sponsorship, because for my listening audience and fellow CEOs, this is one of the most compelling initiatives, you know, that I've ever been involved with. And I'm so glad that Roxy got me involved through, I think, Connie Roy Jakowski. And of course, you two, Lynn and Paul, are really, taking it to the next level. So I appreciate that. So with that, Jay, why don't you give out the websites again? And I could go on for another hour, but you'll cut me off. So
I'll have to, only because of time. That's the only reason why, Tom. NHNeedsCaregivers.org as well as NHHealthcareHeroes.org. Those are the two websites right there. And this week's edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio comes to a close. Fear not, we'll have another one next week on the Pulse of New Hampshire. For Lynn Carpenter, Program Director at NH Needs Caregivers, as well as Paula Smith, the Director of Southern New Hampshire Area Health Education Center, as well as Tom Raffio, the President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm J-Dog. We'll be back on the Pulse of New Hampshire next time.